be with Diane McVeigh in her recovery of her femur bone, and we look forward to her and her husband coming to our church, Lord. Be with Julie Marzek and her mother and her cancer, and be with Pastor Dan and Carol and all their children and what they're going through, and be with Dana's husband, Daryl, and Dana's children and grandchildren, and just get Kaylee a job. Be with Dan's coworker, Henry. Be with Linda and Bill and Mary and Bob's niece, Katie, and her family. Soften Katie's heart, if you will. Be with Emily and her pregnancy, and Daryl and his needs for his overtime and that situation. Be with all of our children. Keep us safe on the 4th of July. Be with all of our military around the world, and my son Joe, and be with the clear and simple gospel message, and praise that Linda is retired. We thank you for that, Lord, and a praise for Dolly's healing, and we just thank you for healing her up, and be with all of our unspoken requests, and we just thank you for all you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I know I've had this Jerry Green. He was kind of like my uncle, family friend. He passed away Thursday. So at his request, he wants his ashes spread around down there. So next Sunday after church, Kim and I are flying down to Tampa for a week. We have some things to do down there, and so I'm flying back. That Sunday morning, I land in Akron at 9:20 a.m. So
don't rush.
I got to try and make it from Akron at 9:15 home, shower, change, and get here by 11. So it might be tough.
This is next Sunday?
Next Sunday. The Sunday after that.
No.
We can do something small.
We can do something. No, don't rush.
You're doing something.
So we'll figure something out. We're good.
Yeah, okay. You won't rush back. There's no need to rush back.
All right. So I'll be here next Sunday, and then I leave that night. So it would be the following one. So I tried witnessing to him bedside, and he's a lifelong Catholic, and he found my gospel presentation confusing, and I did it with as much care as I possibly could. So I fear that he did not make it. And it just bothers me because it's not him. It's Satan. I go straight back to the guy who's in charge of all the problems that we have. Which brought me to another Pastor Dan's book.
Yep.
Pastor Dan's got many fantastic books.
Yep.
And it's just this whole Antichrist mentality I wanted to talk about. And so we're just going to cover Dan's book word for word, really. Hopefully I can squeeze it in here. But it's fantastic. This Antichrist mentality that rules our word versus the kingdom of God. And it just destroys everything that God holds dear. God loves us, wants us to be saved. Oh, wait a minute. Before I do that... I wanted to show you the website. Is it still up here, Kim?
Okay.
Looks like it disappeared. It got closed. Or I closed it.
ChristianChurch.net, right? ChristianBibleChurch.net?
ChristianBibleChurch.net. And I don't know if you do a search on the web if it would even come up. But, okay. So that's what our website looks like. It says, a picture of the church. We welcome you home. I would like to dress this up again. I don't know how we got that. Did you make that, Dan? This sign up here on the church, it says Christian Bible Church.
Yeah,
I don't know how we can fix that up, but anyway, there's a weekly verse, there's a weekly service, it just says church Sunday at 11, movie night, stay tuned, picture of the inside of the church, I gotta put a faith statement in there, and then is a link. How do you get to heaven? It takes you to Yankee Arnold's 4-minute gospel presentation, the wallet trick. Who we are, a small town church with a warm, cozy feel. And then just says where we're at. Says that we'll provide childcare downstairs or whatever during the service. And then this just says that our church is, you know, Sunday at 11. Help us spread our love and faith, learn more. I don't think that takes you anywhere yet. Our mission to continue Dr. Dan Arbogast's legacy of teaching the Bible to those who want to learn it. Our goal is to make disciples who can make an impact in the lives of their families and communities. Our vision, preach the clear and simple gospel message to every creature. Teach them what John 3:16 really means. What we do, we provide clear teaching from the King James Bible to all who are interested in learning their Bibles. We want you to come to a deeper understanding of Jesus' purpose for you so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in a much deeper way. In our community, we strive to transform our community one new believer at a time. Christians who can save and teach others so that they too can know for sure they are going to heaven when they pass on. Here we're going to put up all Pastor Dan's books. So we're going to upload them. If you ever wanted to reference them, you can be able to click on them. We're probably going to get rid of this testimonials thing. And that's it. That's the end of it. It's pretty simple.
Simple. Like the gospel.
Yeah, right. So
nobody wants that.
I don't know if this pops up. If you click on this link.
Yeah, Brad, God loves you, and so do I. Isn't it true that you have heard almost all your life that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for all the sins of the world? Now, if he paid for all the sins of the world, mine and yours and everybody's, why should we have to go to hell and pay for sin if he's already paid for it?
So I like that because it is clear and it's 4 minutes long. It's simple. He does it better than I can do it. I wouldn't want to make myself a video and put it up there because it just, I don't know.
It's a lot of practice, Joe.
Yeah, I've said it a lot of times, but I don't know. I just think it's pretty clear. Yeah.
I just, for my personal thing, you can't get any clearer than how you give it. I'm just saying from my perspective, you can't get any clearer than that.
I thank you for that, but I've had feedback from others who say that you got to understand it from a person who's never heard it before. And there's a, you know, so that's tough for me because I've been saved for so long now. It, you know, and I like a lot of facts and figures and like the things that go along with it. But
I think some people are even insulted by it because
they feel like
they didn't think they needed a savior before you come along.
Right, yeah, everyone thinks they're okay. Everything's pretty good. And I mean, like, even my dad, like, just this passing, we were talking about Jerry dying, and he says, well, is he going to have a mass? Are they going to say a mass for him? And they brought a Catholic in for last rites and the prayer of healing. And then he's like, well, I'm going to keep Jerry in my prayers. Dad, he died. You know, and it's like, so we get into this really tough, and it's like, look, you're just, he's trying to pray for all these dead people.
You can't.
So, yeah, right, and that's just it. So he's been buffaloed by Satan, and I just...
God rewards those who pray for others, though.
I just think it's like
you're not praying them out of hell.
You can't pray for the dead.
So I think it's like a personal attack on me, my family, friends, people I come in contact with, you know, like... I got your family, so, you know, and I'm going to rub it in your face, too. That's what I see. I don't see my dad. I see him as maybe as a little bit of a fool because he doesn't feel like reading the Bible for himself. But I also see it just Satan attack, you know, his attacks. So anyway, speaking of Satan, God created Satan, the angels, and humanity with a free will. That is the ability to accept God, the God of the Bible, or reject him. When Satan and one-third of the angels rebelled against God, they were cast out of the third heaven, the realm of God. When they were, the original creation became dark and void. Then God brought the earth back into an original condition and created man and woman. And Satan always wanted to rule as God. God has given Satan the ability to rule this earth through his demonic influence. Satan only has the authority God allows him to have. Almighty God is still the boss. The interaction between Satan and mankind began in the garden when Satan enticed Adam and Eve to disobey the command of God. It all began with four little words of Satan. Yea, hath God said. Nothing's changed in all these millenniums. The old Antichrist mentality will always say, yea, hath God said. The Bible says that it is the word of the Lord and the truth. I will, Psalm 138:2 is great, and this is one of the verses I memorized. God has exalted his word above his name, which is to say that he is not to be known apart from his word. So if you want to know who God is, he has told you right here who he is. He's held nothing back. It's all right here for you to learn, to understand, to know. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So this is, he is not to be known apart from his word. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible states that Jesus Christ is the word and God manifest in the flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Is this true?
Yes.
The Antichrist mentality denies and rejects the Bible. The only thing the Antichrist mentality agrees with is, well, the Antichrist mentality. Those four historical facts. The Bible-believing Christian may never prove the Bible is God's word and the truth of the Antichrist mentality, but we can prove it to ourselves with four historical facts. Number one, the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, was divinely inspired between 1400 and 400 BC, with the book of Malachi being the last Old Testament book. Number two, the entire Hebrew Bible was translated into the Greek language 100 BC at the request of Alexander the Great. Alexander fulfilled the prophecy of Daniel in his lifetime. When he realized this, being told by a Jewish priest, he requested his generals to translate the Old Testament into Greek. Ptolemy, one of his generals, had the translation done by 70 scholars. This translation is called the Septuagint. Unfortunately, Alexander died in 323 BC at the age of 33 before he could see the translation completed. Fact number three, Jesus Christ was a literal historical figure. He was a literal real person who walked on the face of the earth. All the history books recorded that, John Ridpath, H.G. Wells, Jewish historian Josephus, and even our encyclopedias say that. Ironically, even the Quran records that Jesus was a real person, even though they deny he was God in the flesh and the Savior of the world. And number four, archaeology has proven that historical records listed in the Bible are accurate. The remains of Sodom and Gomorrah, Nineveh, have been uncovered, along with relics from the Ur of the Chaldeans, which many deny existed. Also, weapons of war have been discovered at the bottom of the Red Sea. What's an Egyptian chariot doing at the bottom of the Red Sea, right? I wonder what that's from. Those relics were found at the place where the Bible states the Hebrews crossed and the Egyptians were destroyed by the parting of the Red Sea. I would just love to rewind the clock and be there for that one. Just some of the events that had taken place in the Bible. So this is just the beginning of archaeological discoveries that prove the Bible. Considering all these historical facts and that Jesus Christ fulfilled some 300 Old Testament prophecies concerning his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection, he must be God, and his word must be true. Therefore, we may be assured that Jesus Christ is God and that he died, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. All we have to do is believe he did this for our sin, and we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. How many other churches this morning do you think are teaching this?
Not many at all.
Not many. And it's just so sad. And I think there's just so few of us. And I just think that's really what it is. There's just very few of us. The Antichrist mentality and worldly kingdoms. The word Antichrist is only used four times. It's in 1st and 2nd John. It means against or opposition to Christ. It is used to describe the man who will rule during the seven-year tribulation. He's also called the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the beast. However, John also states that there are many antichrists. The antichrist mentality has always existed. Everything God stands for, the antichrist is mentally against. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Bible records Jesus being tested in the wilderness by the devil, Satan. The devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. In Luke 4, 5, and 6, it says, "And the devil taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Once again, Satan told only half the truth. He had the power to rule the kingdoms, but only as God allowed. And isn't that something, you know? Satan, the old devil, was actually arrogant enough to offer the world to the one who created and owned it, God himself.
Exactly.
So think about that for a minute. The reason he thought he could give it to Jesus is because Adam gave it to him. And as he's showing Jesus all the mighty handiwork, all the creation that Jesus himself created, he's thinking that it's all his, and he's still convinced that he will be the owner of it forever. Remember, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. At the time, he shows Jesus around. So if you think about that, he's still, I think at this moment, of course he was standing there waiting to kill the Messiah when he was born, right? But the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He doesn't know his fate and that everything's, you know. So he doesn't know that he's been permanently defeated. I just think that was just really, when you stop to really take that in, you know.
It's the arrogance.
Yeah, right. Right, he thought it was his. Like, this is... So Satan's first attempt to create his kingdom was in the days of Noah. His angels indwelt humanity and created an entire population of antichrists. Therefore, because of all the evil, God brought the flood. All of humanity, except for Noah and his family, perished in the deluge, and man must begin to repopulate the earth. Satan is not through, however, and at Babel he establishes another kingdom under Nimrod. This time, instead of a flood, God confounded their language and dispersed man throughout the earth. And I believe it was at this time where God divided Pangaea so that we could not easily rejoin all back into one place again. If you look at, I think it's Genesis 10:25, if I remember right. But he says one little verse in there that I think at that point in time, you know, because the whole earth was spread apart. Now, if you're on the earth, you know, I mean, it didn't take millions and millions of years. I think he did it right then. But that's what I believe. It's up to you to believe what you want. Remember, God told Noah to replenish the earth in Genesis 9:1. Man said, nah, we're going to stay here at Babel in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And man has been babbling ever since. The land of Shinar, Genesis 10. And Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh. In the land of Shinar. The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar became a perfect model for the future kingdom of Satan. Nimrod was considered a god. His wife Semiramis was considered a goddess. And the traditional myth associated with Nimrod and his wife was that they had a son named Tammuz, who was killed by a wild boar and had a miraculous resurrection. So this is a brief account. Therefore, we have like the Antichrist adaptation of the father, the mother, the son, and a miraculous resurrection. And these people were worshipped as gods. Kind of like Emperor Hirohito, you know, like these people would die for him. Out of the land of Shinar came many kingdoms, such as Assyria, Chaldea, Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. Every one of these kingdoms mixed politics with religion, and often their kings were considered gods. Egypt had a multitude of gods. The pharaohs were often named after their gods. Nebuchadnezzar was named after the Babylonian god Nebo. By mixing religious idols with political leaders, such as kings and queens, dictators, etc., Satan receives a kingdom against God, a worldly kingdom that is antichrist in its ideology. He's the prince of this world. In the Old Testament, Satan is referred to as the Assyrian in Isaiah, the king of Tyre in Ezekiel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia in Daniel, and the prince that shall come in Daniel. The word prince simply means ruler. And why is he referred to as the God of this age? Because we give him godlike status as we worship him in worldliness. He's the prince of this world. In the New Testament, he's referred to as the prince of this world by Jesus Christ. He calls him that in John, the book of John, and then the God of this age by Paul in 2 Corinthians, and the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians. The Antichrist mentality and the secular community. Through the influence of Satan and his fallen angels, the secular community rejects the word of God. The Bible says in the beginning, God created. Our schools and institutions with higher learning say that is not true. They claim man began as a blob and evolved into what we see today. If that were true, and it is not, evolution did not accomplish much. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In Genesis 1, 28 and 9, 1, he says, and have children. The Bible also says that children are a gift of God, and a reward and our heritage. Those are great verses, too, if you ever want to look them up or write a note next to them. That children are a gift of God. The Antichrist mentality denies this and states abortion as a right. The Bible states marriage is between a man and a woman. Two men together or two women together cannot be fruitful and multiply. Even nature tells us that is just not logical. The Bible states that homosexual acts are an abomination in Leviticus 18 and 20. The Antichrist mentality seems to think that the Ten Commandments are 10 suggestions or 10 punishments. Therefore, they must be removed from society. You know, and that's another. I think the Texas governor was trying to get the Ten Commandments to be put up on the school walls in all the schools, and I don't agree with that either. I don't think that there's anything wrong with the Ten Commandments. What's wrong with them is that man cannot keep them. And I think when you post them, I think what you're saying at the same time is that, you know, these are what you should do, and then, I mean, so I think it's teaching, it's what the Catholics did. They teach you to hate God. I don't think that that's going to accomplish much, sticking the Ten Commandments in every school. But I don't know, that's my personal opinion. Tolerant and diverse. The Antichrist mentality claims it's tolerant and diverse and goes to great lengths to prove it. The idea simply implies that we must accept and love any thought, race, lifestyle, etc. That's a noble idea, but the Antichrist mentality is tolerant of everything but the truth. The Bible, the cross, the Ten Commandments, and the Christian. You know, so they're not tolerant whatsoever that they want us to be. And the Antichrist mentality even defends the radical terrorist who kills everyone, including their own, all in the name of tolerance and diversity. If one disagrees with the Antichrist mentality and defends his or her belief, the Antichrist mentality will attack with all vigor. Apparently, the Antichrist mentality seems to think God is intolerant. After all these restrictions, everything God says in the Bible that is righteous and moral, the Antichrist mentality is against. The Antichrist mentality in the religious community, what the Bible says, The Bible says all men are sinners, and the wages of sin is death, and that Christ died and was buried and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says faith in the finished work of Christ is what pays for our sin and guarantees eternal life. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The religious antichrist mentality says that's not true and not enough and calls Christ and the Bible a lie. Does anyone here take that verse literally? I do. I can nearly see the soul with the flesh off of it at certain times. I think, man, where is this coming from? Oh yeah, that's right. Jesus warned me about you. Some of these people that you come across, I don't even believe they're in control of their own bodies. I believe it is. I'm staring Satan in the face. You know, one of his demons. So that's how you got to look at it. That's what we're up against, especially if you're a believer, especially, you know, in this church, with knowing what you know. You are of great importance to God and of a fantastic hindrance to Satan. But if our gospel be hid, God says, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious God... How do you do that, by the way? He does that with false religion. He says, don't worry about this book. We're going to give you a Catholic Bible. It's got 6 extra books in there, and we're going to take care of this after you die. We're going to let you go ahead and do what you want. We're going to send you to a place called purgatory, and then we'll just pray you out of there after you get right with God. Well, how ridiculous, you know. So, and on and on and on. Just many, many false religions. So that's how he's blinded the minds of them, you know, or get them to hate God, because we're going to put the Ten Commandments everywhere, and it says, thou shalt not lie. Well, you lied. So all it does is convict you of your sin, but it never gives you the gospel. That's what I don't like about the Ten Commandments. The gospel doesn't follow it. It should be the 11th commandment that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but anyway, yeah, right there. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, right? It's not any mystery. Don't marvel at that. For Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. What is he talking about? He's talking about all the devils indwelling all the false teachers. Yep. Right? Whose end shall be according to their works. I can't wait for that. I'm going to be standing there. False doctrine, leading those. There are genuinely people who are like this Diane, who's about to come to church. She was in a Pentecostal church earlier in life. She's about to come to this church. She's desiring to become closer to the Lord. She wants to hear the truth. It's my job, our job, I guess, to welcome her and to, you know, and teach her the truth. And someone who's genuinely desiring Christ wants to know. But there are false teachers that, you know, have people walking into their church, and they lead them straight to the grave, you know, without ever giving them the gospel. Either they don't know it themselves, or which I believe is true, but then they're also turning them away from God, unbeknownst to themselves, I guess. The Antichrist mentality is busy in the religious community. Humanity is incurably religious and easily led astray. The kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God. It's eternal and rules in the kingdoms of men. It is righteousness. It is peace. It is available. It is literal and will be here on the earth for 1,000 years. So, it's all those things. It's the kingdoms of men were Shinar, Assyria, Egypt, Chaldea, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, present-day kingdoms in this church age that we're living in now. And then the ultimate Antichrist kingdom, which takes place during the 7-year tribulation. Our man-made denominations refuse to believe that salvation and eternal life is by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. We're told we must do something, say something, feel something. We must show some proof to a man or a denomination that we are saved. And the religious leaders dress in their robes and wear large crosses around their necks. Outwardly, they look like sheep, and inwardly, if they do not have the simple gospel, they are ravenous wolves. The kingdom of God. What and where is this kingdom of God? The simple answer is that it's everywhere. It's everything God has to offer. And it's everywhere at all times, and it's always available. We are reminded in the book of Daniel that God rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whosoever he wishes. That's why, you know, we do go to the polls, we vote, but God's going to put there whoever it is that he wants. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. God will accomplish his will. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, God told Israel all the blessings they would receive if they served him. And in 25 through 68, the curse that they would get if they did not. All this was from the kingdom of God who rules in the kingdoms of men. In John 3, 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see in this verse is from the Greek word eido, and it means to know, behold, be aware of. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In John 3, 5. The word enter in this verse is translated from the Greek word eisirhomai, and it means to come into. So, to come into the kingdom of God, right? So, if you are born of water and in the Spirit, you can come into the kingdom of God. But if you're not, you cannot. In other words, the born-again child of God who puts their faith in Christ as their personal sin-bearer, their Savior, has the ability to see the kingdom of God and enter into it, or receive the blessings God has to offer in this present life on earth if you're already a believer. And that's every one of us. You want to know what the kingdom of God is right now? Romans 14, 17, and 18 says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a steak at the Outback. You know, or crab legs at the Pickle Bills. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Just as Israel in the Old Testament could have been blessed by God if they served him, so too the New Testament Christian has the blessings from God's kingdom available if they serve him. And I see blessings come my way all the time. And I always pause and stop and thank them. There's so many things all of us have to be very, very thankful for. They could be much worse. It could be the slightest thing. And just stop and thank them for it. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 and Galatians 5, 16 through 26, Paul warns the Christian concerning the kingdom of God. He states that if we are not living a life that reflects Christ and produces fruit, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This does not mean eternal life. The word inherit in the Greek is kleronomio, and it means to share by allotment or to obtain or receive. So to receive our share of the allotment. He's allotted a bunch of things for the Christians. They're all there. They're all available. And all you got to do is go get them. Some of us do, some of us do not. As we view the world around us, most people see the glory of the worldly kingdoms. The Christian, however, should see the kingdom of God. In 1 Chronicles 29:1, Israel took up a collection to build the temple of God. And after the collection, the people rejoiced because they gave willingly to the Lord. And then in verse 10 through 12, he says, Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. That's fantastic. You know, and those prayers, you just wish you could speak like that. It's all his, the earth and everything in it, and those who dwell in it are the Lord's. He is king over all the earth. The Psalms say lots of good stuff in the Psalms. And they're easy to read quick. His kingdom rules over all, Psalm 67 says. The big question, the question everyone should be asking, if God rules in the kingdoms of men and over all the earth, why is there so much evil and Antichrist ideology? Pastor Dan began this booklet with the answer. It is called free will. God does not need to be trusted and worshipped by puppets. He gives humanity the ability to make decisions. He has given us the ability to see him in the very creation itself. Then he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy concerning himself. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of Kings. In the presidential elections of 2008 and 2012, the political parties ran on a platform of women's and gay rights. That's where Obama defeats Romney to go on for a second term. That is the woman's right to government-funded abortion and the right to gay marriage. The American people voted for that political party. That is the Antichrist mentality. These are the same politicians who claim that global warming is brought about by men abusing the world. In other words, God is not in control, and the government must control us in order to prevent this so-called global warming problem. And it's so comical to me because if God wanted global warming to stop, if it were an issue, he'd just go speak and it would be done. Like it would be over with instantly. So, you know, it also just discredits God. You know, like you couldn't, you know, we'll fix it, God. Don't worry about it. We got it. Someday soon, Almighty God will remove his Holy Spirit and the world will be faced with a man of who the Bible calls the son of perdition, the wicked one and the Antichrist. He will rule in the world for 7 devastating years, and at the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ will judge. And if he didn't cut it short, the Bible says there'd be no flesh left alive. So it's going to be bad. But at the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ will judge the world and all those who rejected him and followed the Antichrist. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and Christ will set up his literal kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. It will be a kingdom run by righteousness and peace. And I think it's going to get to be so bad in the coming end times here that when you see this take place, you're not going to fret at all about it. It's not going to bother you in the least because of all the nasty things they're planning to do to us. Jesus Christ the Lord will rule from his throne in Jerusalem. During the 1,000 years of the reign of Christ, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for the duration of the 1,000 years, Revelation 20 says. And after that's over, Satan will be loosed and go out and deceive the nations of the world for a short time. The conclusion, today we live in an era of socialism, just like that primary in New York. That guy got, they just love him. Socialism's the same thing as communism. This concept means government control of everything, and socialism does not work. When the government controls society, it's always a failure. In our society, the criminal is pitied and the victim is criminalized. The mentality today is a borderless society. That is, there is no need for patriotism because we are all in the one world order, one world government. We're all one. The Old Testament prophets were perplexed about the mindset of society. Everything seemed backwards and out of place. And even David says it in the Psalms. But Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And in verse 23 says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Doesn't this sound exactly like what's going on today? Yeah. Nothing changes. This is 800 BC Isaiah writes this. And here we are 2,800 years later, and it's the same story. God is long-suffering. And Habakkuk 1:2-4, Habakkuk cried out unto the Lord. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee for violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. When the Antichrist mentality rules in a society, everything's perverted. Paul stated that a person must work for their needs and for their family's needs, right? So there's multiple verses right there that, you know, are anti-socialism or anti-communism. Yeah, and after Israel finally entered into the promised land, they were ruled by judges. A judge was a mediator between the Lord and the nation of Israel. The last judge was Samuel, because in 1 Samuel 8, Israel requested a man to be their king. God gave them what they asked for. Israel no longer wanted to be ruled by the Lord their God. When the nation of Israel allowed God to govern them through their judges, they prospered and were blessed. Today, Israel is scattered throughout the entire world, and they long for this kingdom that could have been theirs. Unfortunately, when their real king, Jesus Christ the Lord, arrived on the scene, they rejected him and had him nailed to a cross by the Romans. All this was prophetic, though, however, and had to take place. Until the real King of Kings returns to establish his kingdom on this earth, we must live in a world run by the Antichrist mentality, because the free will of Satan and man is basically an Antichrist mentality. Remember, yea, hath God said. So we're all living in this, and we have to be lights that people can come to. Until he returns, we tell others this: be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. $1.50 to whoever can tell me what these verses are.
That's right up there.
Yeah, that's the verses. There's two verses there.
Romans?
Nope.
No, Galatians?
Nope.
Acts?
Yep.
Acts 16?
No. The second verse is the one I like to quote to people, because Acts 13:38-39, it says, by him all that believe are justified from how many things?
All
things.
All.
Which you couldn't be justified by the Ten Commandments, you know, the law of Moses. It's just, I think it's fantastic that you're justified from everything. And that's what the person who's desiring God wants to hear. It's like, okay, I get the Jesus on the cross thing, but tell me more. Well, did you know that if you believe this, you're justified from all things? Right here. I could show you right here, right now. But memorizing that. Memorize this for yourselves, for witnessing. Acts 13:38-39. Or just 39, really. Because when you tell them all that believe are justified from all things, he says you're justified from all things.